midst of us. Good afternoon, church. I thank God for the opportunity to come to Eden. It's good to see you all. I can't see you very well. Okay. I thank God for the service so far, and I pray that those of you who needed a touch from the Lord, that you're in the process of receiving it. Yes? No? You don't sound too sure, therefore I'm not convinced yet, but we'll get there. I want to read something to you. I struggled this morning. I was told by my lovely sister Bev that today was International Day, and I thought, what? I don't know what to wear. Born in England, of Jamaican parentage, married into Nigeria, and associated with Ghana. What do I wear? So I just found something and put it on. And I'm representing everything and everyone. I want to thank God for this afternoon. I want to thank God for the fact that according to his word in Acts chapter 10, 34, it says, "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, 'In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works works of righteousness, they are accepted by him.'" And so we give God thanks for what he has done in the nations throughout the world. Now, I don't have long and I don't have a watch. So somebody pull me when it's time to sit down. I have prepared a presentation. I'm not going to be able to do it. I won't be able to do it justice. I'll pull bits out as the Holy Spirit leads me. But I truly believe that God wants us to consider the connectivity between these three themes today. I asked Pastor Brian, what do you want me to share on? He came back with evangelism, unity, and love. I've got the email in case he wants to deny it. Three themes are so vast, you could go to university and study them all for 10 years and not get to the bottom of them. So I'm going to do my best in the time that I have. But before I do that, I wanted to say, there's just a few things I know that I have to do and I will do them. I want everybody, whether your Bible is on your phone or if it's a hard copy book, a soft copy book, whatever it is, I want you to just hold your Bible for a moment, please. Thank you, Lord Jesus. One of the things that the Lord has trained me to do, and I'm grateful to him for it, is to share the conclusion of the message at the beginning, just in case I don't get to the end. So I will share the conclusion of the message with you in a moment, and I will give you the key text. I do strongly encourage you to open your Bible and read it. Open your Bible on a daily basis. And read it. I say to my young people at church all the time, not reading your Bible daily when one of them tells me I haven't read it for 2 weeks is like not brushing your teeth. Can you imagine? Chris, talking to me 3 days in after not brushing my teeth? It would be thank you, right? This book that you hold in your hand, whether it's on your phone or it's in your hand, I encourage you all to get a proper Bible. All right. As an educator, I tell you for free that we remember more of what we read from a book than what we read from our devices. It stays in. It goes in deeper. So make sure you're reading from your Bible, not just relying on your devices. I want to say something about this book. Down the years, the Bible has been corrupted, people have said. People have banned it. People have criticized it. People have marginalized it. They've said that it's of no merit, of no worth. They said there are religions that will look you in the eye and say your book is corrupt. Meanwhile, they've never read it. All right? Now, you need to understand. You can put your Bible down for a moment. You need to understand. I'm here to declare that reading this book brings revelation. I thank you, my brothers, for your testimony. Reading this book brings revelation, and that's what we need if we're going to make it as Christians in this day and age. That's what we need if we're going to truly walk in unity. That's what we need if we're truly going to walk in the love of God. We need to understand that this book is central to our faith, okay? And the teaching in there that is central to our faith is the fact that Jesus died, and he rose. That's what the whole faith rests on. Because if he did not die, and if he did not rise, then that relegates him to nothing more than just a good man. And we need to get that into our spirit. Why do you believe what you believe? He died and he rose. There is historical proof outside of the Bible as well as the Bible to prove that he rose. How is it possible that hundreds of people could have seen the resurrected Christ, had the same experience of him? People try to tell us that they were hallucinating. How could you have the same hallucination as a person sitting next to you when a hallucination takes place in your mind? No, 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 no. And I feel this very strongly in my spirit today. We need to understand our faith because people are diluting it by the back door. And as Christians, we're prostrate, we're lying down, and we're not allowing God to demonstrate his wisdom to us. Did you know that you are called to demonstrate the manifold wisdom of Christ? But you can't demonstrate it if you don't read the book. You can't demonstrate it if you don't connect with him on a daily basis. Daily. Did I say daily? Yes. Then I meant daily. Sometimes more than once a day. Brush your teeth in the morning, brush them in the afternoon. When you have a quick meal, brush them again. This book is about life. And so this has got nothing to do with the theme, but I felt that the Lord wanted me to say this to us, that we need to understand that this book is not just a fairy tale. It's written by the author of life. Down the centuries, by 1,500 years it took to construct this book. And when you open your Bible, guess what? It's reading you. And that's why you struggle to read it. That's why you all fall asleep when you pick it up to read it. Because it's not an ordinary book. It's a book of revelation. And so the enemy doesn't want you to get the information that you need, but you need the information because right now in our society, right here in England and in many nations around the world, we have politicians telling us that we need to rewrite the book. What? Change God's standards to conform to the ideas and whims of man? Mm-mm. Mm-mm. But as Christians, we need to know what the book says. And so the crux of our faith is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And if you don't know much about getting that message out to other people, you need to do some study. And I recommend three Bible scholars. Please write their names down. I'm old school. I like to see notebooks and pens in church. Because there's no way you can remember what I said. The minute you walk out that door and your friend says, "Man, I look good today." And you say, "Yes," you forget the message. So please write it down. Please study Derek Prince. Josh McDowell. Derek Prince, Josh McDowell, and Lee Strobel. Derek Prince, Josh McDowell, and Lee Strobel. Understand why you believe what you believe. It's not just about your experience, though your experience is good. We believe what we believe because it's true. And the truth of the resurrection transforms the nations.
That's right.
What we do with the resurrection transforms our lives because the resurrection speaks to us in a place where nothing else and no one else can. Yes. And if we reject Christ, we are rejecting God's eternal plan. That's heavy.
Yeah, yeah.
That's heavy. So praise God. Please study your Bible. Okay, now I'm going to obey the Lord. I won't use this just yet. When I was preparing for this meeting, the Lord showed me some things in my spirit. And one of the things I saw was a lady wearing a complete yellow dress. I've seen her. It's very hard for her to hide because she's the only person wearing a complete yellow dress. So my sister, can I come? I see you. Father, I want to thank you for this precious woman of God that you showed me. You showed her to me when I was praying weeks ago. And Lord, I just want to pray that for whatever reason you revealed her to me, Father God, that your perfect will be done in her life. May she experience a new revelation of you such as she has never known before. Father, I give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Is there somebody called Candice or Candy? Your nickname might be Candy. Is it you? Is it you? You have to tell me if it's you. Don't be shy. It's you. Okay. It's you. Praise the Lord. The Lord said to tell you that your burdens are lifted. He said to tell you that your burdens are lifted and that you will enter a new stream of dependency upon God. And that you are to not look around you and think, well, it's happening for others, why is it not happening for me? He's calling you into a deeper intimacy with himself. So walk in it. Okay? Does that make sense to you? Praise God. I'm taking a risk here, you know. I've never done this before, but I'm trying to trust God. This one's tricky. You might not want to admit this in public, but I'm going to read it anyway. Someone has had a recent encounter with the police. I'm not sure what the situation is, but I sense that the Lord is saying to you that the handcuffs which were placed on you, now whether these were physical, psychological, emotional, financial, I don't know what the handcuffs were, but the handcuffs that were placed on you, God will remove them if you will persistently praise Jesus' name. Amen. Now, you may not want to admit it, but is there someone that fits that description in the room? I don't mind being wrong. I just need to learn how to listen to what God is saying to me. Okay, if you're here, I want you to come and tell me afterwards, okay? And then we'll talk, we'll pray. Finally, there's a lady, maybe two ladies, and I saw you in a situation with your, I believe, sons, and your sons have a very up and down, up and down, up and down relationship with you. You send them to do something, they complain. Now, this is very specific. I know it sounds general, but it is very specific. And your heart is breaking for your sons. Now, does that fit anyone this afternoon, please? Yes? Thank you. Is there anyone else? My sister, come, let's pray for you and pray for your son. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Pastor Brian, would you join me, please? Maricia. Thank you, Jesus. Come, my beloved sister. I forgot your name was Candice. I'm so glad God wipes out my memory sometimes, because I wouldn't have done it otherwise. I would have got free. Beloved, the Lord's about to do something tremendous.
Yes,
Donna, come and pray for this lady, please. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Maria Syria Mande, Babaria Mande, Komane Syria, Aria Mande. Church, don't spectate, please pray. Praise you, Jesus.
Father God, we just want to thank you. We thank you for our dear sister, Lord, and the struggles that she's been going on through. And we thank you, Lord, that you have lifted them. We thank you, Lord, that you are going to do a new thing in her life and in her family's life. We thank you, Father, that your spirit will rest upon her. We thank you, Lord, that your anointing will fall afresh, not only on her, Lord, but her on her entire household. Father, we thank you for the breakthrough. We thank you for the peace. The peace that passes all understanding, Lord, that is filling our heart and mind right now, Lord. And Father, I pray, Lord, that through this, Lord, that she will see Jesus in a new way. And that, Father, as she lifts her hands to you, Lord, that you will just, your presence will just descend upon her. Father God, that she will have a release like she has never known. That, Father, she will know. That she will know, that she will know, that she will know, regardless of the circumstances that is before her, that God has made a way, and that the past has gone, and there is a new beginning for her and her family. We thank you, Lord, for her son. We pray, Lord, you'll touch his heart, you'll touch his mind. Father, you'll give him purpose and direction. Father God, that he will look at his mother and say, thank you, God, this lovely lady, she loves me, she looks after me, she loves me my behavior. So Father, I thank you. I pray, Lord, that you'll just surround them with your presence and your love, and also you'll put people there to help them and to support them, that will send a word in due season. I thank you and I bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Why don't you praise God? What? Come on, if you're clapping for me, that's fine. But we're clapping for the Lord. Oh, church, come on. Some of you aren't even clapping. We're clapping for the Lord. Listen, we're in a new dynamic, and the Lord wants to move us on in the supernatural. How do I change this thing, people? I'm not very technical. Pastor Brian, you have to be my switcher, please. I just want to get to the page that says conclusion, because I have to conclude. Whilst Pastor Brian is changing that, the theme today is around... thank you, that's fine. That's fine. The theme today is around love, unity, and evangelism. Let me summarize this as quickly as I can. My husband taught me, if you've got 3 minutes, use it and sit down. So that's what I'm going to do. In the book of John chapter 17, we read the high priestly prayer of Jesus. It's a fantastic chapter. If you're not familiar with it, please read it. Why? Because he mentions you in that prayer. He prays for me in that prayer, in that chapter. And he prays that we, that's you and me, the church, that we would be as one, as he and his Father were one. Okay? That's the epitome, that's the height of unity that Christ is looking for. And when we look at that chapter, we see that not only does he pray for our unity, but he also prays that we would walk in love towards one another, that we would demonstrate love towards one another. And the word used in that chapter, although in our English text it says love, in the Greek it is agape. Now, agape love is a selfless, unrelenting, I'll move myself to one side kind of love. So I will do everything that I can do for you, and I will do it to the very best of my ability because I agape you, all right? It's not like filial love, which is I'm fond of you, but you know, if I see a dart coming, I'm going to duck because I don't agape you. There's a difference. It was agape that took Jesus to the cross, and he says that we should agape one another. Can you imagine? Think about this. Think about it. Every single person in the body of Christ, he commands you to agape towards them. Love is a choice. It's a decision of the will. It is not a whimsical emotion that comes and goes, that's fleeting here, there, and I don't feel like, I don't really feel like loving Fiona today. I'm not in the mood. That's not love. That's fickle. And unfortunately, in the body of Christ, sometimes we have misunderstood and misrepresented love because we've gone with our emotion and with our feeling. But on his way to his death, what was on Jesus' mind? What was on his mind was our unity and that we would love one another. And so one of the things that I wanted to say to you today is that faith, that is the evidence of things hoped for, works only by agape. You want to see the demonstration of God's power. God's leading me in a new way. The word of knowledge is what he's leading me in right now. So I can't come in here and say, Pastor Brian, your head is ugly. Because God will, that will cut off the power of God straight away. We want to see people who are not saved, saved. Yes. Do we?
Yes.
There's about 10 of you. When was the last time you cried in prayer over the lost? I mean cried. On your belly, in your bedroom, cried for people who are on their way to hell. But what's the last thing that you prayed about and cried about? I don't want you to answer me, but I want you to think about it. What was the last thing you cried out to God about in passion? Was that for the lost? Because if it wasn't, whatever it was you prayed about, as much as Jesus may be concerned about it, he's more concerned about the lost. That's on his agenda.
Yeah.
He's more concerned that you love your brother and sister in the body of Christ. He's more concerned that you work. The Bible says that we endeavor to maintain the unity of the Spirit in a bond of peace. He's more concerned that you are working towards being united, not just saying it.
That's right.
I'm done with playing church. People play church too much. They come to church, they hallelujah, praise the Lord, and the next thing they're having a fight in the car park. That's not love. And the world is watching. The world's looking for an answer. Right now, there's an upsurgence in our nation of people looking for an answer. There is a lot of confusion right here in this nation. And we have the resurrected Christ. We have something that they need, but we need to stop playing church. So your sister stepped on your toe. Get over it. So Pastor Brian perhaps doesn't run service the way you would like him to run service. Get over it. They didn't give you the seat that you wanted. Get over it. Amen. And let's get on with what Christ has called us to. Do you know how powerful you are? Do you know how powerful you are? In your own prayer closet, you can change things. I'm going to finish quickly. He wants us to walk in love, not just talk about it. He wants us to live in unity as Christian believers. It's going to require work. I was talking to my grandson yesterday, who is just beginning to come into an understanding of the things of God and the Spirit of God and praying in tongues. He's six. And I was explaining to him that, you know, do you have that word you keep hearing in your head? Yes, Grandma. Are you making it up? No, Grandma. I said, well, you've got your prayer language. There are people six times your age that don't have their prayer language yet. I said, how much is six times six? And he was working it out. And I said, come on, let's pray. Let's put a chair here and let's talk to Jesus. And he was laughing and he was talking to Jesus. Let's concentrate on what matters as believers. Let's concentrate. We have to practice. I said to him, grandson, you're going to have to practice prayer. We're going to have to practice unity. So my sister does something and I really genuinely don't like it. I'm going to have to practice how to not take offense. I'm going to have to work on it because my flesh will rise up. It will gurgle and gurgle and gurgle in front of me and it will just want to explode. But because of what Jesus said in John chapter 17, I'm going to be one who walks in love and I'm not going to cause disunity in the body. There's a very scary scripture in the Bible and it talks about the fact that if someone is being divisive, give them two opportunities and if they don't repent, show them the door. We don't do that in church today. If we did, it would bring a different sense of discipline to our minds. I'm not cross with you. I love you. But I have to tell you what God has laid on my heart. This walking in love and unity thing is not, it's not a walk in the park. Ladies, can you come, please? It's not a walk in the park. I want my ladies to teach you a song that we sing at home. Pastor Brian, please allow me. I want to encourage you, church, to understand that those of you who are not yet Christians today, I want to apologize to you. I want to apologize to you for every time a Christian person has tried to tell you about Christ, but not demonstrated Christ. But there are no excuses today. Jesus is resurrected, and you need to do something with that information. You need to do something with that. I'm sorry, I'm all over the place. I'm trying to get as much in as I can. You need to do something with that. So that's the conclusion. Pastor Brian, I will send you. You have the slides. The key scriptures are on there. But I want to encourage you, church, to study John chapter 17. I'm going to say this one thing and then stop. In John chapter 21, Peter is with Jesus, just before Jesus ascends. And Jesus says to him, Peter, do you love me? Translation, Peter, do you agape me? Peter says, you know I love you, Lord. When Peter responds, he's saying, you know I'm fond of you. That wasn't good enough for Jesus, so he asks him again, Peter, do you love me? Peter says, Lord, you know I'm fond of you. That wasn't good enough for Jesus. So he asks him again, Peter, this time he says, are you fond of me? Because Jesus is even questioning the depth of fondness that Peter had for him. How much do we love the Lord today? And how much do we love one another?
Abba, I want to pray for us as your church. That you will forgive us for every time we have spoken negatively about our brother, our sister. Every time that we have wounded your agenda. You know that we are flesh, but you are the one that called us to agape love. You are the one that has not allowed us to even think that being fond of one another is enough. You call us to a higher level than that. And I'm so grateful to you this afternoon, Father, that we don't have to rely on our own strength to reach that agape love, because the love of Jesus has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So it's not a question of, can I agape my brother or sister? It's a question of, what am I doing with the agape that I've received? So may we walk in the love that you've already poured out into our hearts. And may this song that we're about to sing be reality in our lives. In Jesus' name. We're one in the family. How did we get this song, family? Kenny? Did we write it? I don't know. We're going to teach you a song. It's very simple. It says, we're one in the family. We're one in the Lord, bound by his Spirit, washed in his blood. And together, there is nothing we can't overcome. Because we're one in the family, we're one in the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
We're one in the family.
We're one in the Lord.
As a result of you rubbing up against another Christian, I want you to come for prayer, please. If that's you, I'd like you to come for prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. come, then come. Don't watch anyone. Don't watch anyone. And together.
Thank you.